Bowled in! What a ripper!
Well, welcome back. Another episode. Let's just check how things are popping. 1, 2, 1, 2, 5, 4, 5, 4. Okay, I don't even know how to count anymore, but who gives a damn? Getting stuck into it now, so. Cricket, it's a quick turnaround from the T20 World Cup. A lot of cricket. It's being criticised by a lot of players as well. And fans aren't. Fans don't mind the action, but they do understand that the players. It's a bit of a workload on players, and it could lead to a lot of players getting injured or even retiring early or forfeiting different series as well because their body just can't keep up with the workload. But yeah, so a short turnaround. This is a three-match ODI series between England and Australia in Australia. England just coming off a World Cup, T20 World Cup win. Australia didn't do too well. They finished third in their group in the T20 World Cup and were knocked out. So they've got a bit of a point to prove. And now both teams are looking forward to the T20 World Cup next year. So the ODI World Cup next year, that's the focus now. So even though the series, it's happening very quickly as well. And also this series doesn't have ICC Men's ODI Super League points, I think. I don't think it does. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, so no ICC Men's ODI Super League points at the apparently. So yep. Now we're just gonna get stuck into this series. England they won't have a few of their players. Some of them are resting. Some of them have gone to Pakistan because they have a test series over there against Pakistan and an ODI series against Pakistan in Pakistan as well, which starts next month, which is just a couple of days away. So, just recapping what's happened here with regards to the ODI series. This first ODI, it's a day night at the Adelaide Oval in Adelaide between England and Australia. Australia won the toss, selected a field first. It's a new era for Australian cricket as Pat Cummins is now the ODI captain officially. And they got off to a winning start. They won this game by 6 wickets with 19 balls to spare. England posted a decent total of 287 for 9 off their 50 overs. David Milan, brilliant 100 from him. 134 off 128 balls, 12 fours, 4 sixes. Strike rate 104.68. A really good innings from David Milan. That is now David Milan's. That's David Milan's second ODI 100, so he's got 250s to his name as well. Really good little good start to his ODI career, even though it's quite late in his career, but it's still a very good start to his career. And ODIs averages in the mid 50s as well. So good stuff from David Milan. Back from injury as well, he suffered a groin injury where he against Sri Lanka in the final game of the group Super 12 stages of the T20 World Cup and missed the semi-final and the final. But he's fine now and he's playing this game. And he's just come back and scored 100, so a really good 100 from him. So contributions all around from a few of the English batsmen, but no one really kicking on. And that's a decent total from England, really. They were in a huge trouble at 4 for 66 when in the 14th over when Sam Billings departed. Australia bowled okay, I thought. They bowled alright. Mitchell Starc, 1 for 45 off 10 overs. Economy rate of 4.50 runs an over. 34 dot balls. Just conceded 3 wides, but that's brilliant bowling from Mitchell Starc. Pat Cummins, first outing as captain. First time bowling for Australia as captain. ODI captain, officially. Bit expensive, but picked up 3 wickets. 3 for 62 off 10 overs. Economy rate of 6.20 runs and over. 32 dot balls. And just considered the 4 wides. But other than that, he was pretty good. So he was okay with the ball. Just a little bit expensive, but picked up 3 wickets. Including the wicket of Phil Salt and James Vince as well. And then he got rid of Luke Wood, who was on ODI debut at the end. Yeah, for England. So congratulations, Luke Wood, for making his ODI debut. We'll probably see more of him in the future. He's got a bit of skill in him. Left arm bowler. I think he bowls fast. He did really well on T20 international debut against Pakistan. Got a man of the match performance there, but yeah, 27 years of age, so fairly late starter in his career. Yeah, left arm fast medium, Luke Wood. Bit of a strong guy as well. Bowling all rounder, can bat a bit as well. England normally do have a look at the deep batting lineup as well. They really do bat deep. And yeah, so that's going to be handy for them. So also Adam Zampa, brilliant. 3 for 55 of 10 overs. A claim rate of 5.50 runs an over. 26 dot balls. Just conceded the one wide, but other than that, he was pretty good with the ball. Just a little bit on the expensive side, but picked up 3 wickets, including the wickets of Joss Butler, the big wicket of Joss Butler, the England captain, and Chris Jordan as well, and he got rid of David Malanda-Centurion as well. So good stuff from Adam Zampa, and a wicket for Marcus Stoinis, pretty expensive, but picked up the wicket of Sam Billings. 1 for 23 off 3 overs, economy rate of 7.66 runs and over, 7 dot balls, and just can bowl the one no ball, but other than that, he was decent with the ball. So he was pretty expensive, but picked up the wickets. Yeah, so mixed outing for Marcus Stoinis with the ball. Sure, I can see 13 extras, 2 leg byes, 2 no balls, and 9 wides. That's something you'll want to touch up on in the future for sure. Australian reply had to chase 288 from 50 overs. David Warner, Travis Head off to an excellent start. 147 run partnership between these two. It's a new era as well because Aaron Finch is now officially retired from ODIs. So Travis Head finally getting to go in ODIs for Australia. Yes, so Travis Head, pretty impressive start from him. 69 of 57 balls, 10 fours and 1 6. Strike rate 121.05. David Warner, 86 off 84 balls. 10 fours, 1 6 to him. Strike rate 102.38. Steve Smith, excellent performance. He mentioned after the match that this is the best he's felt in 6 years. He's seems like he's just found his mojo a bit with the bat. 80 off, not out off 78 balls. 9 fours, 1 6. Strike rate 102.56. Good innings from Steve Smith and contributions from Alex Carey and Cameron Green as well. By the way, Steve Smith, I think he was man of the match. Pretty sure he was. Yep. So David Malone was a man of the match, and not Steve Smith. But yeah, really good chase from Australia. 147 run partnership between Travis Head and David Warner for the first wicket, and then a 53 run partnership between David Warner and Steve Smith for the second wicket. And yeah, that's really that those two partnerships really set it up for Australia, and they just never looked back from there. They finished on 291 for 4 off their 46.5 overs. They went at a run rate of 6.21 runs and over. England went at a run rate of 5.74 runs and over. So Australia pretty much comfortably winning in the end. England conceded 11 extras with the ball. That's something they'll want to touch up on in the next game. 5 leg byes and 6 wides. But yeah, bit of a disappointing bowling performance from England. Australia was just too good with the bat. So with the ball, just too good with the bat. Really good chase from the Aussies. And just looking at the Aussies, so the half centuries and all. So David Warner, that's his 34th ODI 50. Boy, 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 he's got some good numbers at ODIs. To go along with 2400s in his ODI career, really good, pretty good conversion rate there from David Warner. Also, sorry, I don't think that's his 34th. Sorry, no, that's not his 34th. Apologies. That's his test career. It's a decent record as well in tests. But, sorry, I just misread that. Apologies. But, yeah, that's David Warner's 27th ODI 50, and he's got 1800s as well. But yeah, that's a good record either way, and a decent conversion rate as well in ODIs. Travis Head, that's his 13th T20, 13th ODI 50. That was his 50th. He played his 50th ODI match in the second ODI, so well done to him. A bit of a milestone there for him. Averages in the high 30s, he'll definitely want to get that up, but I reckon with time he will because he seems to be hitting another level now in ODIs. Limited overs cricket, so yeah, I reckon he'll be playing some T20s as well in the future for Australia. Yeah, 1350s for him now, and he's got 200s to his name. So good stuff from Travis Head as well. Steve Smith, boy oh boy, that what an innings from him. That was his 28th ODI 50. He's got 1200s to his name. He seems like he's peaking really in ODIs as well of late. And yeah, really good stuff from Steve Smith. Getting those 50s and just really settling the score, settling the scores as well. I like settling things down for the Australian cricket team at number three. Seems to be really loving batting at number three in ODIs. Really good stuff from Steve Smith. For England with the ball, you got David Willey was the pick of the bowlers. A bit expensive though. 2 for 51 off 8 overs. Economy rate of 6.37 runs and over. 24 dot balls. Considered too wides, but other than that, he was okay with the ball. Not too great. And a wicket apiece for Chris Jordan and Liam Dawson. All of the English bowlers were fairly expensive. Ollie Stone was the least expensive, but he didn't pick up a wicket. None for 50 off 10 overs. One maiden over. Economy rate of 37 runs and over. Sorry, 37. Economy rate of 5 runs and over. 37 dot balls and didn't concede a wide or no ball. So okay, bowling performance from Ollie Stone despite not getting a wicket. Luke Wood on debut. Congratulations. We might see more of him in the future for England. And just looking back at England's bowling, so England's batting display, by the way. So just looking at the second game, second ODI. It's a day-nighter at the City Cricket Ground in Sydney. I didn't go to this game, so yeah, I kind of wish I did, but pretty one-sided in the end. Fairly one-sided. There were moments where it looked like England were back in the game, but yeah, they just kept losing wickets in regular intervals, really. Australia winning this game. They seal the series. They take a 2-0 unassailable series lead. 280 for 8 off their 50 overs. They batted first. They won the toss, elected to bat first. 50 overs off their 50 overs. They made 280 for 8 off their 50 overs. Went at a run rate of 5.60 runs and over. So a decent run rate and a decent total as well. England conceded 12 extras. They've really got to do something about those extras. 4 byes, 6 leg byes, 1 no ball and 1 wide. For Australia, there were half centuries to Manus Labuschagne and also Steve Smith. Well, not surprised at all. Steve Smith's got another half century. Seems to really be enjoying himself batting at the moment in ODIs, and maybe some ominous signs ahead of the opposition teams heading into the Australian summer. The Test cricket and ODIs, and also then the India series and the Ashes as well next year. Gee, Steve Smith, watch out. I think he's got a point. He really seems eager, and he's got a lot of points to prove here. Well, he's batting like he's got a point to prove, so might be dangerous in ODIs and Test matches as well. Australia definitely in contention in both tournaments. Test Championship, they're on top at the moment, I think, or they're in second place. They're on top of the table. And they most likely, if they just do well this summer, this Australian summer, they'll most likely qualify for the ICC Test World Test Championship final next year. And then also the ODI World Cup, they'll fancy their chances there as well. And India, so two big tournaments coming up next year. A lot to look forward to for Australia. And I think Steve Smith's going to be a huge factor for the Aussies in both those tournaments. A lot of the cricket over the coming weeks, coming months and weeks, so months and yeah, just it'll be an interesting time in cricket for sure. So Steve Smith bringing up his 29th ODI 50. He's got his 12th plate. He's got 1200s as well. So really good stuff from him. Manus Labuschagne, bit of a mixed start to his ODI career with the bat, but he brought up his sixth ODI 50. Good innings from him. And Mitchell Marsh back in the ODI team as well. Had his injury issues as well over the years, but good innings from him. 13th ODI 50 to go along with one century that he's made in his ODI career. Really good innings from Mitchell Marsh. And 50 off 59 balls for him. 2 fours, 2 sixes. Strike rate 87.74. Steve Smith deserved 100. Just 6 runs short, unfortunately. Just didn't quite clear the man. Down at long off, he just hit it straight to Phil Salt. Unfortunately, he tried to bring up his 100 with a 6, but he just fell about a couple metres short. Unfortunately, good lower, slower leg break from Adil Rashid, and yeah, Steve Smith just sliced it in the end. And a good safe catch from Phil Salt on the rope, like avoiding the boundary rope as well. So really good stuff from Phil Salt, and a good catch in the end for him. And England got the wicket of Steve Smith at that stage. Excellent. Excellent innings from Steve Smith. 94 for 114 balls, 5 fours, 1 6. Very busy innings from him. Manus Labuschagne, like I mentioned, 58 of 55 balls, 4 fours, 1 6. Strike rate 105.45, so quicker than a run of ball. Really good innings from Manus Labuschagne as well. And, yeah, for England with the ball. Adil Rashid, 3 for 57 off 10 overs, economy rate of 5.70 runs an over, 24 dot balls. Didn't bowl any wides, but bowled a no ball. You can't really do that when you're a spinner, eh? It's a bit of a crime for any bowler, but especially spinners. You don't want to bowl no balls. 2 wickets apiece for David Willey, Chris Wokes, and also a wicket for Moeen Ali. Chris Wokes, most economical bowler for England, 2 for 42 off 10 overs, economy rate of 4.20 runs an over, 35 dot balls. And didn't concede a wide or a no ball, so brilliant bowling from him. And England in reply, well, they got off to a pretty horrible start. Both David Malan and Jason Roy departed for ducks in the first over. Mitchell Starc bowling an absolute jaffer to get rid of David Malan. They just pitched around middle stump and then just jagged away a little bit, ever so slightly with a bit of swing, and hit the off stump and pretty much bamboozled David Malan, who was a centurion in the last game, and England were under pressure early on. Then they lost Phil Salt, who was looking okay. Then he just got out, and they were 3 for 34 after 5 overs. Decent run rate. Run rate wasn't an issue for England. It was just that they were losing wickets regularly. A good partnership between Sam Billings and James Vince. James Br Vince. James Vince brought up his third ODI 50. He's got 100 as well. Sam Billings, excellent innings from him. Both of them look good, but then when they got out, both of them got out, it was really game over for England. They tried, looked like they were trying, but it's just the wickets were just tumbling quickly, and that was that, really. For England, Sam Billings. Five, and that was his fifth ODI 50 to go along with 100 as well that he's made. Excellent innings from Sam Billings. So yeah, Sam Billings 71 off 80 balls, 3 fours, 2 sixes. James Vince 60 off 72 balls, 3 fours, 2 sixes to him as well. Other than that, just a few three double digit scores for England, and that's that. A couple of ducks as well. Jason Roy, second ball duck. His poor form really continues. He's struggling. Lost his place in the T20 World Cup squad as well for England, due to his poor form. And also, his poor form at ODIs this year continues. It's a real concern for England. I think they still have enough replacements for him, but yeah, he's such a handy player when he's on song. Can be so damaging. But unfortunately, at the moment, he's just not quite performing that well. David Malan, third ball duck, and also Sam Curran, fourth ball duck. So, a few ducks there for England. Australia, much better than England with the extras. Eight extras conceded by them. One bye, one no ball, and six wides. Also, England will bowl that for 208 in 38.5 overs. They went at a run rate of 5.35 runs and over. Mitchell Starc, pick of the bowlers, man of the match performance from him, picked up 2 wickets in the first over, 4 for 47 off 8 overs, bowled a maiden over as well, and double wicket maiden that was, and also picked up, also bowled, went at an economy rate of 5.87 runs and over, a little bit on the expensive side, bowled 25 dot balls, just conceded 2 wides, but other than that he was pretty good, despite being a bit expensive with the ball. But picked up 4 wickets and really did the damage with the ball up front. And England just really were on the back foot pretty much from that first over from Starc. 2 wickets for Josh Hazlewood, who was excellent with the ball. Adam Zampa, most economical bowler for Australia, and the pick of the bowlers bowling wise, 4 for 45 off 9.5 overs. Economy rate 4.57 runs and over. Bowled 35 dot balls. He did bowl a maiden over as well, Adam Zampa. Just conceded the one wide and bowled a no ball. He can't really bowl no balls as a spinner, but other than that, he was really good tonight with the ball. And Mitchell Starc picking up his 10th ODI Man of the Match award in his career. He's really got some excellent stats in his ODI career, and he's on the way to being an ODI great for sure. Retiring is probably one of the greatest ODI bowlers of all time, for sure. If he doesn't get injured, and if he just plays a couple more years, maintains this type of form, he's on his path to greatness, really. He has an excellent World Cup record as well in ODI World Cups, so yeah, what a player Mitchell Starc is in ODIs. Now onto the third ODI of the day-nighter between Australia and England at the Melbourne Cricket Ground at the MCG, also known as the MCG in Melbourne. Well, this is how it all went down between both teams. And yes, so England, unfortunately for them, they suffer a 3-0 ODI series whitewash at the hands of the Aussies. Kind of tell they were a bit flat after the World Cup win. I mean, yeah, I do really question the scheduling of the ODI series, but it is what it is. Josh Butler just mentioned after the game, he isn't fussed at all by the ODI series thrashing, but they definitely do want to improve a bit. They'll definitely want to improve, though. That's the thing. He did say he wasn't fussed at all, but the thing is, like, they'll definitely want to do better next time they come to Australia, for sure, when they play ODIs. And I reckon they will, for sure. Anyways, just covering the third and final ODI. It's a day night at the MCG in Melbourne. Only 1,000 people in the crowd. Just about 1,000 people in the crowd. Not many people at all. Tells you something, doesn't it, about cricket in Australia at the moment. Scheduling some of these matches. It's very strange. Yeah, 1,000 people in at the stadium. That's it. And, yeah, if it's empty seats at the MCG, well, yeah, good luck trying to find good luck, yeah, trying to build a bit of an atmosphere. It's going to be really, that was probably a bit disheartening for the Australian players, but I guess it kind of tells, you know, Australian public, kind of maybe, in a way, send a message to the, you know, send a message to the Australian Cricket Board, or like Cricket Australia, like, yeah, maybe schedule things a bit better, I guess. Yeah, I don't know about scheduling an ODI series match at the MCG this early in the summer is pretty strange, because I reckon the peak would be around late December, January, February. Those are the times we could get a decent crowd for the MCG matches. And just with the T20 World Cup, yeah, you got some decent crowds there for the World Cup matches just now. But there's no purpose really having a ODI match at the MCG this time of the year. Wait, we're in November. Well, maybe not. But yeah, actually, maybe not. That's probably not an excuse, to be honest. It's just maybe the marketing's been terrible. Too much cricket, maybe. Also, it's the work week as well, end of year as well. It's nearly the end of the year. It's a busy time of year in Australia. So a lot of people probably just couldn't be bothered going to the cricket. And also just factor in that maybe the ticket prices are a bit too high. The food's a bit too expensive as well. So that's another factor as well. But anyways, just covering this game now, just getting to the point anyway, enough of the mumbo-jumbo. So, David Warner, Travis Head, third outing together, probably not since Aaron Finch's retirement. This time, both of them made hundreds. David Warner broke a drought. He hadn't scored an international 100 since the Sydney Test in 2000 against New Zealand in any format at all for Australia. He broke that drought, made an excellent 100. And that was his 19th ODI 100. Boy, what a career he's had in ODIs. And he's got 27 50s to his name, but that was his 19th 100, and what a time to score it. Beautiful innings from David Warner, just at his best, crafty best, and just a touch over, strike rate touch over 100. 106 off 102 balls, 8 fours, 2 sixes, and Strike rate 103.92. Excellent opening partnership between these two. And they had the record for the highest opening ODI partnership for Australia. They scored 284 against Pakistan. I think that was in Adelaide as well back in 2016, if I remember correctly. That was Travis Head's first ODI 100 as well. And I remember that day. Those two were just blasting at all parts of the Adelaide Oval. Yeah, I think that was a wait. And yeah, it's just been an interesting year for Travis Head in ODIs. He's really taken his opportunities in ODIs, and yeah, he had a good series in Pakistan as well, opening the batting there. And now he seems to be loving opening the batting. I think that might have just answered a few question marks after Aaron Finch retired. I think they found their replacement, Australia. He was brutal, absolutely brutal, Travis Head. The South Australian left-hander was just outstanding. 152 runs off 130 balls, 16 fours, four sixes. Wow. Strike rate 116.92. Really good strike rate there. Both of the David Warner and Travis Head seen the platform for the Aussies. Everybody else just did their bit. They chipped in with a few runs here and there, quick cameos, and that was that, really. England conceded 14 extras, 4 leg byes, 1 no ball, and 9 wides. Also, this pair of Travis Head and David Warner put on a partnership of 269 for the first wicket. Excellent partnership. And that, too, off about, how many balls would that be? 38.1 overs. So, just doing the maths here, 229 balls. Wow, brilliant stuff there from Travis Head and David Warner. A few cameos from the other batsmen. Australia got to 355 for 5 off their 48 overs. It was a 48 over match revised. Match was reduced to 48 overs due to a bit of rain in Melbourne, and also a bit of a wet outfield as well. And Australia went at a run rate of 7.39 runs and over. Excellent stuff from the Aussies. England with the ball. Well, Ollie Stone picked up 4 wickets, but boy, oh boy, was he expensive. 4 for 85 off 10 overs. Economy rate of 8.50 runs and over. 24 dot balls, but he got spanked all parts and bowled it wide as well. And a wicket for Liam Dawson, but he got pumped as well. 1 for 75 off 10 overs. Economy rate of 7.50 runs and over. 16 dot balls and didn't concede a wide or no ball. All the English bowlers got hammered in this game. Batting-wise, England were very disappointing. They were not really in the chase at all. Jason Roy top-scored, but his horrible run in cricket, international cricket at the moment, just continues. 33 of 48 balls, 6 fours to him, top-scorer. A few cameos here, a few starts for a few batsmen, but no one really carrying on. Golden Duck as well for Chris Wokes, but gee, that England were just terrible. with the bat, and Australia did concede 13 extras. That's something that I want to touch up on in the future. Two wides, there's 2 leg byes and 11 wides. So 13 extras, 2 leg byes, 11 wides. Yep, 2 leg byes there as well. But 142 England were bowled out for in 31.42 overs. They went at a run rate of 4.48 runs and over. They were never really in the chase at all. England. So, for the Aussie bowling tack, well, Adam Zampa, a little bit expensive, but picked up 4 wickets. He had a superb series. 4 for 31 off 5.4 overs. 1 maiden over as well. Economy rate of 5.47 runs and over. 18 dot balls and didn't concede a wide or a no ball. 2 wickets apiece for Pat Cummins and Sean Abbott. Pat Cummins, pretty good performance from him. Wicket for Josh Hazlewood as well. And a wicket for Mitchell Marsh as well. Most economical bowler for the Australians was Josh Hazlewood, 1 for 21 off 7 overs. Economy rate of 3 runs and over. 29 dot balls and just conceded the 2 wides, but other than that, he was excellent with the ball. And the Australians win the series 3-0. England, probably just a bit of, maybe just a bit of concern heading into the... maybe a bit of concern head into their next ODI series. Don't know when that will be. Have to check it out. But yeah, Australia get their preparations for the ODI World Cup next year off to a good start. 3-0 whitewash of the current world champions. Although it was a depleted England team for sure. Maybe not depleted, but definitely off the mark after the T20 World Cup victory. So Australia capitalised. That's what you do. You capitalise on the team's the opposition team's weakness or place where they may be just faltering a bit. You just capitalise on those moments and you just put them to the sword, and that's what they did. And Australia might have just answered a few short-term question marks over their ODI team. I think they've got a good combination in Travis Head and David Warner at the top. Two aggressive left-handers. That'll be really good to see. They'll be really good to watch. If both of them get flying, watch out the opposition. Steve Smith just got a little bit of a cameo here today against England. Didn't really have to do much because David Warner and Travis Head set the platform up the top. Mitchell Marsh coming in the middle order. I think he might just seal a place for the future, for just for the short term. Alex Carey's had a decent run in ODIs, so he'll probably stay there. Mars Labuschagne, Marcus Stoinis, I'm not sure about those two in the future. Cameron Green definitely looks like a player who will play for the Aussies in the future. So just maybe a few question marks about maybe four the other two batsmen in the top eight, but I think Australia pretty sure in their bowling attack and the top three batsmen. So a few question marks answered there, but just the middle order a little bit suspect at the moment. That's something they'll want to look at heading into the World Cup next year, and they've got plenty of time, plenty of matches to choose from, and they'll definitely be looking at the way some players perform in domestic cricket as well over the next couple of months as well. So good start for their preparations for the next World Cup. England not so much, but there's always time, and yeah, well, let's see what happens. Anyways, a 3-0 ODI series whitewash for the Aussies over England. Comprehensive from the Aussies. They play their next matches against the West Indies. It's a test match, day-night test match at the Optus Stadium in Perth. And also Australia in with a chance of qualifying for the World Test Championship final next year. So plenty to play for the Aussies next year and even now. So if they win both these test matches against the West Indies, they put themselves in a really good position to qualify for the World Test Championship final next year. So plenty of cricket to play for the Aussies. Also, in this match, player Travis Head, player of the match, wonderful performance, man of the match, excellent performance from him. Just superb batting, really. What a dynamo. What a little pocket dynamo. Can't really describe Travis Head like appropriately, I'd say. But okay, I just started there. What the fuck did I say? He's 28 years of age. Jeez, been around for a while, young man. The young man, but he is such a little pocket rocket, isn't he? Just so brutal, so damaging. Now I reckon David Warner will enjoy these couple of months batting with him up the top of the order for the Australians. And that concludes that. So, guys, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Do stay tuned for more episodes. We'll be covering plenty of cricket. Also, do check out the YouTube channel. Going to be posting plenty of content. Got a lot of content from the T20 World Cup as well that just happened. So I'll be uploading pretty much all those videos and snip pockets and that, little snippets and all that. Also, be doing some stuff over the next couple of months and weeks related to cricket. Going to hit the nets this week with my mates. This time I'm going to be trying manual bowling machines, so let's see how that goes. Hopefully I don't injure myself. But anyways, that'll be good to see how things go. And I'll definitely be trying a few new things and definitely conducting some interviews with people. Unfortunately, the guy who invented Straight Bat app, who I met at Kingsgrove Sports in Kingsgrove just before the start of the Super 12s of the World Cup. Yeah, the guy hasn't really replied. He did say he was going to attend then. I just asked for a message. I asked him if he was going to, if he was still down for an interview or whatever, but no. Seems like he's busy with the app and all that, so that's fine. I will keep you updated if he does decide to interview, have an interview with me. Anyways, guys, thank you very much for your time. Stay safe wherever you are. Plenty of stuff to look forward to, so do stay tuned. Until next time, it is bye for now, and we are out of here. Let's get the fuck out of here now.
Bottom! What a ripper!